Will you turn with me to the second letter of Timothy in chapter 3? This morning's sermon is entitled A Bible-Driven Church of Impact, or if you prefer, a Gospel-Driven Church of Impact. We'll read the Word of God. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lust, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. Their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have assured of, and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. God wants us complete. He wants us thoroughly equipped for every good work. A Bible church of impact. Hey, guys, if you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if you have been forgiven, if you have the peace of God, and at times we're not always there, we admit that. God is so gracious. But you see, the word says, you know, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I. I'm giving you the peace which passes, transcends, surpasses all understanding. This isn't just peace. The original is saying, I'm giving you peace, more peace. Shalom. Peace and more peace. This is the goodness of the Lord. This is the grace of the Lord. And he's saying, the Lord says to you, the Lord says to me from his word, if you are in me, you are indeed the body of Christ. This morning, I'm looking out at those who are the body of Christ, part of the body of Christ. You look at yourself sometimes and you think, me? That's not a good, bad place to be in sometimes, because if we look at within sometimes, we do feel, see a lot of dross, we see a lot of mess. But if we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ, if we know that the beloved is mine and I am his, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. You are the body of Christ. He's saying, church, you are precious. He is precious. You are precious to him. Redeemed. You were dead. Totally dead. I was dead. We sometimes forget that our unsaved relatives, our unsaved family, the person we sit next to at the office, the person we give our money to in the supermarket, the person we're sitting next to on the bus, they're dead. They're dead. They don't know Jesus. They're dead. Dead. I know of only one thing that can make them come alive. It's the gospel. It's the power of gospel. It's still mighty to save all who turn to him. We must be a Bible church of impact. A Bible-driven church of impact, friends. We must be individuals who know our God. You are chosen. You are blessed. Vision and mission, we need to hear from the Lord Jesus. What is his purpose for me, you? What is his purpose for the church? I sometimes get a little bit concerned when I see so many sort of mission and vision statements, and I think they've taken that from them exactly from my sales manual, which I used to have when I was a salesman. They just added the name God in it instead of signpost or whatever it was. So I'm concerned, but friends, I know also that Proverbs says those who don't have a vision will perish. And I want to know what Jesus is saying to me. I want to know what Jesus is saying to the church, because I know he's talking to us, and I want to be obedient. And one thing that we as leaders do believe is that he's saying you've got to be Bible-driven and be a people of impact. I want to see, friends, as God will enable us, not only walking in faith and victory, despite opposition, despite trouble, despite at times heartache, I'm still going to walk in faith and victory because my God is for me. If he is for me, who can be against me? But I want us to see that in our spheres of influence, in our families, in our neighbourhood, in this neighbourhood, in our workplaces, at school, at college, we will see the communities turned upside down, the right way up for Jesus Christ, because we're a people of impact. And this is what we believe the Lord is saying. We want to be a Bible-driven church. So let's just, for a moment, recap what impact is. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Firstly, instruction in the Word of God. Perhaps when we looked at this before, we got too bogged down with impact groups. Our new groups, as they are formed, will be connect groups. We connect with each other, connecting with Jesus. Impact should be impacting us 7 days of the week. And then whatever we do as a church, whatever we do as individuals, we need to be instructed in the Word of God, because God says, I will perform my Word. I will accomplish my Word. It's his Word which he breathes on. It comes to life. My words could contradict his Word. I want to know what his Word says. And the M, mobilizing for ministry. Each one. Do you know, friends, I don't know your vocation at this moment, your vocational calling, that's a sacred gift. Did you know that? That's a sacred gift God has given you. He's blessing your talents. He wants us to fulfill those giftings. Hallelujah. But also in the whole area, and where you are, providing you're not doing something immoral, providing you're not in a situation where you are having to compromise, that is for this moment where God wants you. And it's a place of ministry. Hallelujah. It's a place where we can pray, where we can believe that God's kingdom can come, even in our workplace, despite sometimes, you know, the hassle. And, you know, the boss who is being disrespectful or not observing what you are doing, but constantly criticizing. God, this is where you want me for the moment. Help me to walk tall in you, to be humble yet strong. Help me to fulfill your purpose, that I'll be a good steward until such time as you move me on. But mobilizing for ministry so that each one understands under the Lord's anointing what we are indeed equipped and anointed for, even within the church community and outside. Mobilizing for ministry. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit. Because when we're talking about things which are of the Spirit, we need to be walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We need God's power to come upon us. His anointing to be upon us. It's not by works, not by power. It's by your Spirit, says the Lord. This is what the Lord, he wants us to be. A place, a Bible-driven church of impact. And then there's the praying with faith in God. This is important. Praying in faith to God, regardless of his answer. I'm still going to trust you. I want that determination that Job had, even though he's slain. I'm still going to trust you. I know you're God. I know you're sovereign. You're going to work all things out for good. Because I love you, you love me. And although I haven't got the immediate answer, though I'm having to go through this valley, though I don't understand these circumstances, Lord, I'm not going to turn my back on you. I say to the devil, get out. I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to believe the word of God. His promises are true. Praying in faith, regardless of his answer. Knowing that the Lord wants to give the best gifts to his people. If I know how I can bless my sons, even more so will God want to bless his precious children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as you can see, the impact, adoring Jesus with passionate worship. And as we will be unfolding, this is the Jesus, being a biblical church of impact, this is the Jesus of the Bible. Not a Jesus of New Age, not a Jesus of Islam, not a Jesus of the Jehovah's Witness, not a Jesus of the emerging church. This is the Jesus found in the pages of Scripture. Hallelujah. Adoring Jesus with passionate worship. Before the next goes up, what is the C? Thank you. Caring for one another. Caring for one another. See, caring for one another. Bearing, have we got that? Oh, somebody's gone. Sorry. Bless you. Oh, thank you. I wondered why it had gone. There he comes rushing back. That's okay. Bless you. I hadn't realised that, you know. But well done. Caring for one another. You know, what does Jesus say? Bearing one another's burdens, you fulfill the law of Christ. Be compassionate one to another. Care for one another. Acts 2, you know, if anyone has needs, we need as a church to continue to care for one another. And we thank God for what he's doing. And caring for one another. Even, you know, those who, for whatever reason, are on hard times, desperate, and unloved, perhaps have no one to show them that they are indeed before God in his made in his image. That's why we want to be passionate for the lost. And impact, telling others the good news. Need to be a Bible-driven church of impact, a gospel-driven church of impact. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I think you'll agree, friends, that we're living in interesting times. We're living in challenging times. We're living in times of confusion. We're living in sometimes there's happiness. Other times there's despair. In the world, of course, we realise what is happening, very much so, but also within the church, within what is known as church, we're living in interesting times. We're living in interesting. There are those who will say the church, and I'm not talking numerically, because numerically the so-called church is growing. Okay, so I'm not talking numerically, but many will say the church is in decline and that there is a famine of the word of God. The remnant is there. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Glory to his name. But there's much confusion in the church. Others will say the church is in revival and a revival is coming. Hallelujah. Well, we want to know what the word says so that we remain faithful and we remain biblical. I want to hear what God is saying and what I hear other people are saying, or what you hear what I'm saying as well as other people. You'll test. You'll test the spirits to see if they are of God. Is there real fruit, lasting fruit? Is it fruit that glorifies Jesus? Or is it a fruit that glorifies a ministry or a TV program? Anything which takes away the glory from Jesus. If it's that sort of fruit, it's not of God, however successful it may appear in man's eyes. We are living in sin. I was interested, Ken Gott, who is an Assemblies of God minister and who was very much involved in many of the so-called revivals and the Sunderland so-called revival. In his book, Dismiss the Crowds, he made a very interesting observation. This is what Ken wrote in his book, Dismiss the Crowds. It was published a few years ago. He confessed to a general weariness with the revival conference circuit, and commenting on the continued talk of revival leading to false expectations. And I think that's happened. There's been so much talk, and many people have disillusioned, and I know some have turned their backs on church because it never happened or it was spurious. But this is something that he also wrote, Ken Gott. Success cannot simply be measured by the size of our church, the number of meetings we can persuade people to attend, the church programs we run. Success in God's eyes can be reflected only by our obedience to the command Jesus has given us. First to be a disciple, then go and make disciples. Amen. Amen. And friends, in that confused day when the God of the Bible seems so distant, and we're bringing in our programs and plans and methodology just to try and make it happen, people are trying to unlock the key to the harvest rather than doing it God's way, and also applauding his wonderful, gracious sovereignty in all matters. God is sovereign. Hallelujah. And I want us to just draw from God. Draw inspiration. What is your, not what the latest prophetic statement is or whatever. What are you saying, Lord? Straight to me. And I believe whatever he's saying will be acknowledged in his word. 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, we had some really good and solid teaching from Philip on Balaam and the prototype false prophet. If you haven't listened to it, or you need to listen to it again, do so if you can. Because we need to hear this word. It may not be popular. It may not fill the gallery. But if it's the word of God, I want it to hear, because I know it will bless me. I know it will help to keep me. It will help to keep this church on the straight and narrow. And it will glorify Jesus. And Jesus said, I will honour my word. I will honour the people who honour me. We will be fruitful as we abide in him. One of the modern day authors, another author, David Wells, I don't necessarily agree with everything David says from his theological perspective, but he argues in the book which was published several years ago, still available, God in the Wasteland, he says this: the church is now enfeebled because it has lost its sense of God's sovereignty and holiness. David Wells says that God has become weightless. He's lost the power to shape the church's character, outlook, and practice. God rests too inconsequentially upon the church. His truth is too distant. His grace is too ordinary. His judgments are too benign. His gospel too easy. And his Christ is too common. I think, friends, sadly, that is a sad reflection on much of today's church. And I know God's going to hold me accountable. He will hold me accountable. And friends, I desperately want to do it God's way. And I believe that we have a people here and those who he's going to add to who want to do it God's way. It's the way of blessing. At the end of the day, I want to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, friends, depart from me. Yeah, you did many miracles, supposedly in my name. Signs and wonders, yeah, many. You had such applause. So many books, bestsellers, CDs. I don't want to hear those. Then depart from me, because I never knew you. I don't. I want to do it God's way, and I believe we have a community and a committed body of people who are saying, I don't want to do it man's way. I want to do church and live my life and be obedient as a disciple and making disciples God's way. And he will own his word. He will supernaturally help us and touch us. I'm so thankful for that. But that is, I believe, unfortunately, a true reflection on what is good. A lot of talk, a lot of programs, but not much real godliness. The fear of the Lord. And that's the beginning of wisdom. God is sovereign. I'm accountable to God. His word will judge me, not me judge this word. So friends, the 21st century church is losing, I believe, rapidly its biblical foundations and its purpose. Surely we need a biblical worldview. Did you know that absolute moral truths exist and are defined by the Bible? There is such a thing as absolute. Now that goes totally against the culture of the day. It goes against humanism, atheism, it goes against secularism, it goes against liberal theology. It does. Moral truths do exist. They're defined in the Bible. And you see, what Satan has been doing from day one, did God say, did he really say it? No, you listen to me, come listen to God. He's vindictive, he's jealous. So he's been doing that from day one, and as the centuries roll by, and there's so much more exposure to different media outlets, we've got instant TV reports, we've got the internet, and all this sort of thing, which can all be used for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God for what is going out over the airwaves, on the internet and so on, which is from the Lord, which is releasing people, bringing people out of captivity into freedom, leading people into biblical truth. And so we praise God for that, for these opportunities. But we also know that they can be very much tools of Satan. He doesn't mind who he uses to confuse and to bring people into bondage and away from the biblical Jesus. Did God say, don't you believe in that creation rubbish? You can distort it a little, change it a little. That's okay. You can still have your God, but he wasn't there really in the beginning and did this. What's he doing? Destroying our confidence, destroying our children's confidence in the word of God. Did God say, and he's been doing it ever since. Did God say? Yes, he did say. His word is sure. His promises are true. So I want us, with your help, Lord, to be people who know their God. Those who know their God will do exploits. This word is sure. Hallelujah. His word is true. Jesus said, look, heaven and earth is going to pass. My words will not pass away. God's word is true. Friends, we've got to have absolute confidence in the word of God. So when the word, or indeed parts of the church, is saying, this is now acceptable, this is okay, we're living in the 21st century, we've got to look at it from today's point of view, rather than the Apostle Paul's, you know, he was just a male. He didn't understand, really. You know, it was okay for that culture, what he was saying, but this is 21st century. We're enlightened, aren't we? We're liberated. What does God say? This is our standard, friends. Hallelujah. It applies to sexuality. It applies to all sorts of things. This is the word of God. There are absolute moral truths in the Bible. So the first impact was instruction in God's word. Hallelujah. Instruction in God's word. Hallelujah. If that quote can go off, you know, so instruction in God's word. Hallelujah. You see, God's word tells us what sin is. It tells us what there are absolute truths. It tells us that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Hallelujah. It tells us that salvation is the unmerited gift of God. Hallelujah. It tells us that Christians are responsible for sharing the gospel, for making disciples of all nations. And what does it say? Teaching them all things that I've commanded. Not what Jim has commanded, not what Rick Warren has commanded, Ken God, Tony Blair, I don't care what Jesus has commanded. Teach them that. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. An emerging evangelical culture, and I use that word deliberately, emerging. Most of you will have read much of what I've written and said on the emergent church. But the emerging evangelical culture is attempting to redefine Christianity by uprooting the church from its doctrinal heritage. Now, say it again, what is happening, man's methods and movements are replacing God's blueprint for the growth and the purpose of the church. You know, the church that Jesus is building, Hades, hell, they can't win. Aren't you pleased about that? I am. And I want to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, help us as a fellowship to be a biblical church of impact, so that even at times when we need to swim against the tide, the professing religious tide, the religious spirit, whatever form that comes in, if we have to swim against it, Lord, as long as we're being obedient to you and full of the Holy Spirit and humble before you and say, your way is best, your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will come. And we will be blessed. So doctrine is important, friends. Most of you, if not all of you, will know our stance as a leadership on doctrine. And if you haven't read that article in Watchman, please, if you would do so, that would be great. Because we want to be united in these things, friends. Hallelujah. We want to be united in the essentials. Hallelujah. We will have differences. We will disagree on certain things. Oh, what an opportunity to show love and grace. Hallelujah. But on these important things, these are some of the distinctives of this particular fellowship that God has resurrected again within me and within the leaders and others, that we will be a Bible-driven church of impact, a gospel-driven church of impact. And for all the talk about God raising up a new generation of apostles, prophets, and so on, one thing I see sadly lacking is the emphasis on apostolic doctrine. Isn't that strange? I find that amazing. But did God say? So, friends, may the Lord help us. The central doctrines of the Christian faith must occupy center teaching in our ministry and in what we do. We need to be instructed in God's word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. Let the word, have a love for the word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Hallelujah. Your words, O Lord, will in no way pass out. There is a battle going on, friends. It's not of weapons, but it's a battle of truth. It's a battle of truth. May we be on God's side. Under Christ's leadership and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we will grow up in Christ. We will grow up in Christ. Hallelujah. We will make an impact in our community, because I'm so thankful again and again. When I feel my weakness and I call upon the Lord, He strengthens. His strength, His power is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. We will make an impact in our, and in our spheres of influence. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to lift up the standard of His word. And make sure that the Jesus who we are passionately, and we must passionately follow, we must get intimately acquainted with our Jesus. But remember this, the Jesus of the Bible does not contradict the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, they are one. Lord, will you lead us into all truth, and that we will follow the Jesus who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your conquering Lamb, who has opened up, hallelujah, heaven for all who look and seek after Him. Who says in His word, seek me, you will find me. Those who call upon me, I will answer. Those who ask for me, I will respond to. Those who are knocking for me, I will come and send them a message, a word from me. I don't want to follow a Jesus, however attractive it may appeal to the flesh, a Jesus of the New Age, a Jesus of the Emergent Church, a Jesus of Islam, a Jesus of the Christian Scientologists. Jesus is, which is just another god in Hinduism. I want to follow Jesus, who is the powerful, all-powerful King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is the Lion of Judah, the one who can keep us on the straight and narrow, the one who can fill us and keep us until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who said, you believe in me? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will complete what I have for you. May Jesus be the center of our lives. Indeed, we be a Bible-driven church. Let me just put up three other scriptures very quickly. We'll go back, if we will, to 2 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 15. They'll be on so that we can read these scriptures. We'll read verses 15 and the next two, if we may, brother. Let's read it out. This is the word, and that from childhood, what a blessing. What a blessing if you have some children or grandchildren and you're teaching them the Holy Spirit. That is a great blessing. Most don't have that. Many of you are in church today because God had mercy on you when you was a child in Sunday school. This is a great blessing. And from childhood, you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Purpose-driven won't. Truth-driven will make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, is that possible? Sorry, I didn't give you a warning of that. But verse 16, I want to quote it correctly. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This isn't man's word, it's inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. You see, good doctrine is liberating. Don't get bound by man's doctrine. God's doctrine is liberating. His doctrine brings freedom. Hallelujah. It keeps us from error. It keeps us from man's way. It keeps us on God's way. God's way of blessing is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. We need it. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. Can you just put up the next one? Thank you, brother. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. This is again talking about the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. It says, for the Word of God is living, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God isn't always comfortable, friends. Piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And the final one is Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says in the closing letter, chapter of his letter to the church in Rome, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Don't avoid those who are teaching the doctrine of Christ, but any who are bringing a contrary doctrine. Run 1,000 miles. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Shall we sing that song which, Lord, Jesus needs to be the center, wants to be the center. Have your way among me. Have your way among this church, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for calling us. And you want to equip us. So that we are complete. We're going to grow up in you, Lord. And we're going to encourage each other. We're going to help each other along the way. So this community, those who are still lost in sin, hopeless, forsaken, desperate, guilty, may see a people are empowered by your Holy Spirit. They see they've been with Jesus.